Let's have a quick word of prayer. Yes, Lord Jesus, we worship you this morning. Hallelujah. We worship the risen head. Thank you for being with us here this morning, and we just beseech you, we continue to quicken our spirits and to show us the things that you want to show us today. Just pray that you would give me utterance of speech to share the things that you've laid on my heart, that you would open the hearts of everyone who is here, that they may receive a word from you, the living word. We just thank you and bless you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We be seated. Brother Allen had a beautiful prelude to my message here, or my short meditation, that we should show forth his praises. That's why we are created. We're going to see some verses here. That's what's going on in heaven. And it's not just singing, it's thankful singing. We're called to be thankful. And first, before I get into that, I guess, announce, most of you don't know him, but there's some of you that might have heard of him or know him, but my uncle Johnny from Centerville, Michigan passed away Thursday afternoon, and the viewing was yesterday and today, and tomorrow's a funeral. He was out of about somewhere between 15 and 20 uncles that I had, and about half of them are still living. He was probably the only one that I really recognized that probably was walking in the spirit. That I just remember from the time I was a little child, and every time that he was around, whenever a conversation was going, when he got into the conversation, within 5 minutes, something was being shared about the Word of God. It was just alive to him. It was part of his life. He might have not always walked the way that we think he should have walked. He might have not been discipled correctly, but the last 15 years or so of his life, he was a bishop up in Centerville, and I had a lot of respect for him, but so he passed, and I just wanted to announce that. Yesterday, as I was studying a little bit for the opening here, I ran across this verse. I wasn't looking for it at all, and God brought it before me. Psalm 116:15, and this is good for all of us this morning to meditate upon, says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a very familiar, very short verse, and it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It does not say, "For everything, give thanks." It says, "In everything, give thanks." And there is a difference. We don't need to give thanks for the tire that went flat. But in that circumstance, we give thanks that we didn't get hurt, that all four tires didn't get flat. You know, there's hundreds of things that we can give thanks for if we have a thankful heart. Giving thanks and singing go together. They're kind of inseparable. They are separable. You can sing without giving thanks. You can sing prayers, and you can also give thanks without singing. But they do really go hand in hand. In Scripture, we see that. Ephesians 5:19-20, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, that's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. Speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I know I shared this with the children some time ago, but I'm going to share it again because I think it's instrumental in our walk with the Lord. He's saying, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So what's the difference between the three? He doesn't just say, speaking to yourselves in spiritual songs, or just in psalms, or just in hymns. He says, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, there's hymns. We were singing hymns this morning. And there's psalms. We can take the psalms and we can sing those. But there's also spiritual songs. What are those spiritual songs? If we're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, in circumstances, whether we need prayer or whether we're giving thanks, the Spirit brings forth utterance. Okay? And we can put any tune to it we want to with any words we want to. Okay? We can just, like Brother Allen just prayed here a minute ago, and like I did, we can just pray in a voice. We can also pray in a song, in a tune. And we can put any tune on it we want to. And I think, that's what I think a spiritual song is a song coming from your from within. And it's not words that someone else wrote down. It's your words. It's your own words. And it's a command that we should do that, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17 is very, very similar. Paul wrote this other one to the Ephesians. This he wrote to the Colossians. And he worded it very similar, but I'm going to read that also. And it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That needs to be the rule, the master, the peace of God. For the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's where I get my text from, is be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Here we go again, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving, here he says it right again, he starts out with giving thanks and he ends it, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Commandment. And this wasn't just something that Paul, that the Holy Spirit gave Paul to say, and he kind of, you know, fought it up. This, he was quoting Scripture. Paul was quoting Scripture. We go to Chronicles, and you're welcome to turn there with me. I'm going to read several verses from Chronicles. First Chronicles, we're going to start. I'm going to be doing quite a bit of reading here, without hopefully taking up too much time. First Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 7 through 12. And this is a psalm that David sang, or I'm not sure if he sang it. I guess it doesn't say. But this is a psalm that he, in front of a huge group of people, the way I take it, it was a festival sacrifice going on there. And it says, verse 7, then on that day, I'm in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph was the chief musician that Dave had hired. Dave had set him up to be the chief musician. And he delivered this psalm to thank the Lord. Verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. See, he's saying here to thank him and to sing unto him. We go right on to the same, there's a long psalm there, and that's a beautiful psalm. But let's go to the end of it, and he kind of ends the psalm in the same way, verse 34 through 36. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give. Does he want them to be delivered from the heathen? It says, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Turn to, I'm not very good at reading notes. Go to chapter 23, 1 Chronicles, chapter 23. Verse 27 through 30. And this is after David brought the Ark of the Covenant back. He brought it back from Obed-Edom. I think it was from the Gentiles that the Ark had been stolen. I didn't do all the research here, but the Ark had been stolen. And he brought it back. And so I'm going to read several chapters here, several verses here. Verse 27 through 29 through 30. Verse 27 through 30. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of the God. The Levites, this is what their office was, is to do all these things, okay? Both for the showbread and for the fine flour, for meat offering and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and for that which is fried and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. That was part of their duty, every morning and every evening, to stand and thank the Lord. This is not something that's just a New Testament theory. This was from the people of God all the way down. Second Chronicles. Let's go to Second Chronicles. And this is where Solomon's dedication of the temple. And this is some familiar scriptures. John D. Martin, when he talked to us here several years ago about singing and about song and all the scriptures that we have, that it's a command from God, he read some of these verses also. But right along with this singing, what I want to bring out, right along with this singing being a command from God, is also thanking Him is also a command from God. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I'm going to start reading in verse 11. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter there. And it came to pass, and this is, like I said, this is when Solomon was dedicating the temple to the Lord. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came even to pass, as the trumpets and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So when did the Lord choose to come down and fill the house? It was when all these people were arrayed and they were all in perfect harmony and perfect unison there, singing and thanking, praising the Lord. It says, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. We're called to have thankful hearts. I'm going to read a few psalms. I've got a lot of psalms down here, but we won't have time to read them all. Psalm 18. And you don't need to turn to all these. I'll read them for you, and you're welcome to. I'm going to read Psalm 18, verse 49. It says, Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. I'm just bringing out that giving thanks and singing praises go together. Okay? Psalm 69, 30, verse 30 to 32. Psalm 69. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. I just wanted to bring that out. When we sing to the Lord and we give Him thanks, the Lord, this pleases the Lord more than sacrifice does even. But we'll see, as I go a little further, we'll see that giving thanks can also be a sacrifice on our part. We'll do one more psalm here on this part. I've got a bunch of beautiful verses here out of the psalm. Psalm 105, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." It's giving thanks is also a command from God, as we saw in when we read off some of the first verses. And there's a lot of psalms that tell this, and they're kind of mingled in with singing and all that. But I want to read a few of those. That it's actually a command from the heart of God. Psalm 30. Well, we'll go to Psalm 100 first. We're right here close to it. Psalm 100. I'm just going to read that psalm. It's just a short psalm, and I'll read verse 1 to 4. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." It doesn't say to serve him with anxiety or with sadness, with a troubled heart, or with woe is me, or anything like that. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 95, verse 1 to 3. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods." So, and maybe I should turn. I want to turn to Colossians 2 again. We read some from Colossians 3, but Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, it says there. Most of us in here have received the Lord Jesus into our heart, right? It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How do we walk in him? It says, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as he had been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." It should be the fruit of our lips. It should be something that's just coming. And Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, I think is more of the same. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Here it says, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." And I want to say, when it says be careful for nothing, it's not our type of language to say that, right? What's he mean? What that really means is do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, I've been thinking about this the past several weeks. So many times when I pray, I have requests. Keep us safe today. One of the children has a cold and asked, and we just have all kinds of requests. But it says to make our requests known with thanksgiving. Not gloom is me and I'm this poor Christian here that really needs more of God. It's, wow, what a God we have. Anyhow, I didn't finish reading that verse. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I just wanted to tie that in. It's, again, giving thanks and having peace with God go hand in hand. If we have thankful hearts, is what I'm trying to say. If we have, a negative attitude towards things, towards circumstances, we've had more flat tires on some of our implements in the last several weeks than we did last year, all year, I think. But there's reasons for those things. And I can just, I don't know what all the reasons are. But one thing I do know, I'm called to be thankful during those circumstances. And not just to say thankful, but to be thankful. Actually be thankful. There's
So what is being thankful? I looked it up in the dictionary, and it didn't really paint a big picture, but I'll just read what the dictionary had to say. Feeling or expressing thanks, grateful. Grateful acknowledgement of something received by someone or done for someone. Okay? So I've struggled a lot in the last quite a few years of am I thankful or am I grateful? Am I supposed to be grateful during this circumstance or am I supposed to be thankful? And what's the difference? And honestly, there isn't much difference, but I looked up both of them. This is what gratitude is about in the dictionary. It's a feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received. Warm, appreciative response to kindness. Thankfulness. Desire to do a favor in return. So, in the definition of thankful, it said one of the definitions was being grateful. One of the definitions of grateful was thankfulness. But if I put the two, if I really read what it is, being thankful is the fruit of our lips. Okay? Grateful is how we walk it out. It's a warm, appreciative response to something, being grateful, to kindness or a desire to do a favor in return. We have that desire, and that's we are being grateful when we do that. When we're thankful, we're expressing it with our lips. Okay? That's as close as I could come to the difference. They are very closely related. So I ran into some verses about sacrifices of thanksgiving. And so Psalm 50 verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And so it's almost like when we pay that, it's almost like we offer him thanksgiving and we're grateful as we do that, so we do things for him. I'm going to read you a few scriptures here that were interesting to me. The prophet Amos had something to say about that. And you don't need to turn there. I'll read it. Just a couple verses in the prophet Amos, chapter 4. Verse 4 and 5. It says, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. But it says, bring your sacrifices every morning and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. This is a commandment from God. And he's telling them to bring your sacrifices every morning. And so I would like to inspire all of us, being this is a command from God, that our mornings are spent, at least some part of our mornings, thanking, sacrificing part of our morning for the praises of God and to thank Him. And evening, it's named here, it says, and also some of it's named in the evening. And I also saw an interesting scripture in Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. This is after he went overboard. They threw him overboard, okay? And chapter 2 is kind of, it says how he went down, and I think he actually died. I think he actually died, but that's for another message there. But because it says, when I fainted, and my soul fainted within me, and all that. But verse, I'm not even sure. Yeah, verse 7, yeah, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. This is here. This is before the whale swallowed him. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And after he spake that, his soul did, you might say. It says, in the last verse there says, and the Lord spake unto the fish. Oh, he was in the fish. Yeah, I'm wrong. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. This is when he was in the fish's belly, when he prayed that prayer. And Hebrews 13, I found an interesting scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 13 through 15. A lot of us have done this. We know what going out of the camp means. It means forsaking our comfort zone and coming out from wherever we are a part of that is not holy and righteous. And Jesus had to do that. He could not die in Jerusalem. They took him out to Golgotha. I can't say it in English very well. They took him out there and he had to die. He had to bear our reproach without the camp. And so he's talking here about that. And he says, in verse 13, it says, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The sacrifice of praise continually. "That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name." So there it ties that right into the fruit of our lips is giving thanks unto his name. And that's what we do as we go out of the camp, bearing his reproach. We're not gloom and doom as we do that. It is we're with thankful hearts that he redeemed us, and that he is our God and our Lord. We also have a scripture about unthankful, a very familiar scripture, Romans 1, verse 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God," this is people that knew God, "they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." So that can take us down the wrong path, just an unthankful heart. So now, Luke 17, if you would just turn, you can turn to that if you want to. I'm going to read Luke 17, a very familiar scripture, and maybe make a few comments on that scripture. Verse 17, chapter 17 in Luke, starting in verse 11. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back." It says, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed," if you look in the Amplified, it says, "when he recognized it." See, how often have we been healed and we didn't recognize it? We just kept right on going about our day. You know, we have a cold, snotty nose, coughing, but we're healed and we never recognize it. We just keep right on going. We feel better and, hey, we can do better, more work, easier. We're not as uncomfortable and we don't fail to recognize that we've been healed. It's not just natural. It's not just normal. It's the finger of God. "One of them, when he saw that he was healed," he recognized it, "turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. And when it says giving him thanks, it doesn't say, "and he thanked him." It's giving him thanks. There again, it gives the impression that he did it over and over. He just didn't say, "thank you, Lord." He just, thank you, my Lord, my God, thank you, you know, just over and over. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They're not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger?" And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." This stranger, this Samaritan, was made whole. He wasn't just cleansed, but he was made whole because he thanked the Lord. How often have we been cleansed, we've been healed, but we haven't really been restored, we haven't been made whole because we fail to give God the honor and glory. So, I mean, like I said, I have a lot of requests that I take to God. How often are these requests granted? Almost all of them are granted. How often do I take time and with a thankful heart thank Him for these requests that are granted? I think it's very imperative. You know, there's that familiar scripture there happening there in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas were in prison. They were thrown in prison because Paul had called that unclean that spirit to come out of that woman that was following after them. And it says there in Acts 16, it says, and at midnight, now it doesn't say they might have been doing this for the past hour or 4 hours or whatever, but it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. It wasn't just, you know, let's be careful so we don't wake up anybody, you know, just be quiet. They were doing it loudly, praises and praying. And you know what? We know what happened there. You know, an earthquake and the prisoners were, all the doors went open. So it's powerful. And I want to share this. This has been on my heart now for some time. And I shared it at the Bible school to the youth. But when I got sick, this flu that went around, I was one of the first ones that got it at our house and even in the community. That I didn't know there was any flu going around, and all at once I got really sick. And so, long story short, I was at the hog farm about 3 days after, and I was really weak. I couldn't hardly walk. I couldn't hardly move. I hurt all over. And yet there was so much work to be done going through those hogs and giving shots and all that, climbing over gates. And all at once, I found myself singing a song of thanks. I can't even get the tune now, but I didn't know hardly. I knew only one line of the song. It's a song of thanks. And so I did that line, but I put my own words to it. And I found myself thanking the Lord with this tune and just thanking Him. And every time I thank Him, I'd get more power. I could go on. And I'd thank Him. I'd go on, you know. And I was just amazed at the power that being thankful has. It just gave me, and I've been using that since then. A thankful heart is a power from within that God gives you. And so if you feel yourself in a circumstance where you're really weak, start thanking the Lord and thanking Him with your heart. I mean, I thanked Him that every time I took another breath, I could feel it gave me some energy. And so I thanked Him that He could let me take another breath. That oxygen held vital energy for me. There's Thanksgiving going on in heaven right now, and I think there always was and will be. I'm going to read you, there's three scenes, I won't read you all three scenes, it's too late. But there's three scenes, and all three scenes have the same thing happening in heaven that we see in Revelation 4, verse 8. And all three of these scenes have these beasts and these elders. But in Revelation 4, verse 8, it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall down before him. And that scene happens again, and it happens again, and it's recorded three times in Revelation. Or the same scene is happening again. And every time they are giving thanks and they fall down and they worship Him as they give thanks. So that's all I have. Thank you.